All Things Dogs today. I'm Lee Rayburn, and if your dog loves a good walk, then wait till you get him out on a great hike. Our next guest is a certified dog trainer and outdoor recreation advocate based in Madison. She owns Three Black Dogs Adventure Company, where she trains people and their dogs through outdoor play. Also a supervisor of community programs for Madison School and Community Recreation. Jess Katie Bartholomew joins us now. And if you have a question about what it would take to get your dog into the great outdoors in a way that you can both enjoy, you are welcome to join us. Or if you have a story to share about maybe even a horror story about taking your dog on the trails and ended up with a result you did not expect, please, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we'll see what we can do about that. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org. Jess, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
And you just let me know that you were one of Larry's students way back in the day. Larry, you took the Larry Miller School of Radio.
Heck yeah, it was great.
You got your degree.
Yep.
So now my expectations are way up here.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
I'm just kidding. I just want to know what you know, because I have taken my sister's dog around the block. No problem. We're good at that. She knows the block. She knows the smells. I have taken my sister's dog out on the trail, and we are at a loss. We're fighting. We're pushing in different directions. I feel like I'm damaging the relationship by taking her out on the trails. And it's not so far from the place where we go around the block, but it's a world's a difference of experience for me, and I'm guessing for poor Rue, too. Jess, what can I do?
Okay, there's so much that we can do. And I think the first is just recognizing that humans and dogs have different goals on walks. So a really important piece of that is, as the human, recognizing what it is your dog's looking for. They are not logging Strava. They don't care how many miles you go out and do. A 20-minute amazing experience to your dog could be even better than a 4 or 5 mile hike that you might have in your brain. So I would say the first thing that we need to do is choose the right adventure for your adventure partner.
Choose your own adventure, but you're choosing your dog's adventure.
Yeah.
What does my dog want, Jess? I feel like it's all the smells that they can get. Mm-hmm. They want to see some wildlife out there and maybe get a little rowdy about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe. And maybe that rowdiness leads to some not great walks, too.
Yes.
So we might need to see things from a distance to begin with. So I think the most important thing when choosing your adventure is to recognize that, like, no adventure is too small. So your hike might be in a business park, which may not be, you know, it's not the peaks of Devil's Lake, but your dog could go out and have ample space for you guys to develop your relationship together, to work on your leash skills, to be able to see some critters at a distance, and really put all of the training that the previous guests were talking about into work in those safe spaces. And then we can start to move towards a tighter trail.
You don't start by climbing the Alps.
You do not start by climbing the Alps.
You start on a few hills.
Yes.
Maybe move up to a small mountain.
Yes.
And then you consider, you know, the big hike to the peak.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I think, I feel like I just want to jump in, right? And that's no way to show the experience or create the adventure.
Absolutely. And this all really started. So I adopted, like so many dog trainers, a dog that I was like, my running partner, we're going to get into this. We're going to go have so much fun together. And he was chaos in a fur package. He was reactive to bicycles. Oh. He was reactive to runners. He was a true menace to society. So we spent so many nights in a business park developing our relationship. And as a trainer, I started to just recognize how many other people's worlds were closing in because of a dog that they maybe adopted or maybe something happened. So finding ways for these animals to be able to participate in recreation, in going out for hikes. We just had to look at it with a bit more of a creative lens. So,
and start a little bit smaller and move our way up. Are you big on the rewards? Do you over-treat?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Especially at the start, when we're working on developing our skills. And even today, I mean, this dog that I'm talking about is 13 or 14 years old today. And he has, you know, bicycles. You'd never know. You'd never know.
Really?
He didn't like a bike. But does he still look at me to grab his little snack? Certainly.
So he sees a bike and he looks at you.
Yes. Yeah. He's like, that's my
I'm
reward.
Yeah.
He's like, I get my little piece of hot dog. It's not 400 pieces of hot dog like
it
was
that
one day. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the first place where people really start to fumble is they have this anticipation or this expectation that you can go out with your dog and, you know, you have that Instagram photo in mind, like you and your dog championing all the state parks or whatever it might be, and then realizing that your dog has a different idea.
You ever have your dog on a leash and you come across a tree and you go one way and the dog goes the other?
Yes.
That's the worst.
Yes, the classic split. Yes.
Oh, gosh. I feel so stupid about it. Like, on the human, I should know better, but for some reason, I'm in my own head and I'm not even thinking about it, and all of a sudden, we're stopped dead in our tracks, and I have myself to blame.
I don't think it's stupid at all. I think that is you as a human seeing the trail with your eyeballs and your dog seeing the trail with your nose, and it just is a perfect example of the divergence.
I feel like there is a lesson here for humans that to see ourselves as we are, not like we're humans. We have these experiences in a very human way, and dogs have them in a different way. And while it's important to understand your dog seeing this or smelling this experience as a dog, it's equally important for you to see yourself as having this experience as a human being, and we do things a little bit differently.
Yeah, and I think that's the magic. When you can start to realize that, you can really start to customize the adventure so you and your dog are both getting what you need out of the experience.
So the magic here is the realization of myself, not so much the dog. I feel like I'm the one getting trained here,
Jess.
There you go. A light bulb has gone off, and I'm not so sure I like what it shows. Let's go to your calls now for our guest, Jess Katie Bartholomew, owner of Three Black Dogs Adventure Company, 1-800-642-1234. The revelation is real. You can also email talk@wpr.org. Kathy in Manitowoc, hello.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I have two Australian Shepherds, and I have a leash that I can walk them both on. And it seems that whenever I have to not go on trails because they're both really prone to aggression towards another person on the trail with the dog. Not the person, mm-hmm. the dog. They don't. They're really friendly to the people. But when I try to, like, slowly introduce them or something, the one dog who's 10, she just wants nothing but to, you know, be aggressive. And then the younger dog, he picks up on that. And then all of a sudden it's 2-on-1. And it's, so totally have to wrangle them in. And I'm just wondering if there's a way I can, I have no pull leashes, and that helps.
Sure.
But I was just wondering if there's something else I can do to, get them to not be so aggressive to other dogs. Is it me or is it the dogs?
No, it's not. None of it is to blame. Sometimes it is truly just the setup. So I'm a multi-dog owner as well. And I think it's really helpful to work on building the skills with your dogs independently. So taking them out for one-on-one, it sounds like you have an age difference in your dogs too. So our younger pup might be picking up on some of the habits the older dog has learned. So really working on those experiences one-on-one, and then maybe finding those places where you're not going to have the run-ins. I love a business park. So where you can go practice with both dogs together is a really successful way to move forward.
There is nothing emptier than a business park, but the problem is when they come across other animals and then they become reactive. And then part of my issue, Jess, is I hear people saying they don't go on trails because they're concerned about overreactive other people's dogs and worried about how other people are handling their dogs, concerns about dogs that may be off leash that become reactive. and how scary that can be for others.
Absolutely. And I think part of the responsibility of being a dog owner and using our public spaces is to make good choices for you and your dog. Mm-hmm. So knowing that your dogs might have issues, it's not that you can't be on those trails, but maybe finding trails that are wider, not single track trails where you're going to have really tight passes or not be able to move off the trail far enough. Or finding times when it's less likely that people are going to be out on trails can be really, really helpful to just avoid those situations too.
So we would probably focus on the older Australian Shepherd because it sounds like the younger one is just reacting to the older Shepherd and doing what, you know, learned behavior from that one. And then we're going to take them out to the dog park. And then what's our next steps? What sort of behavioral techniques? How many hot dogs should I bring?
Yeah, load up on the hot dogs. We're going to go to the business park, and we're going to practice just rewarding your dogs when they see a person and dog from a distance. Far away. It could be across the street, far away. So it's that same idea that your dog sees the dog, the hot dog bag opens, mm-hmm. and they get treats, 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 treats with repetition. That dog is going to mean good stuff is going to happen to me. So we always want to be practicing at a distance. This is where it's very helpful to have a friend with a dog or work with a trainer who can kind of set that situation up for you too.
And then you slowly get closer, and then the less reactive, the closer you get, the more treats you get until
you hit the point that is the success point for you and your dog. Mm. There are some dogs that doing a tight pass on a single track trail is just not going to be an option for them. So it's also okay to communicate with your words to the human and say, this is not going to go well for us. We're going to turn around if you can just give us a little time, or to step off the trail. And I love to play a game called Find It with my dogs, which is basically using those noses. I'm going to take a handful of little hot doggy treats, throw them on the ground, let my dogs sniff them out. Mm-hmm. So they're focused, they're sniffing, they have a job. Well, that oncoming person and dog pass, just to kind of calm down that situation.
So Kathy's older Australian Shepherd is like, there is a threat and I am protecting my younger dog and I am protecting my Kathy. And I am going to do so until that threat has passed.
Yep.
Is there a way, and is treats the way to say this is not a threat, or is it just a distraction?
It depends on the situation. So it isn't ideal. So if I know that a dog is going to have an overreaction to a situation, the best thing I can do in that moment is manage, which by all means, like throw the treats, use the food. But I won't call that technique training. That's just kind of like getting through the situation. We really want to think about training as intentional setups in calmer environments. So until I felt comfortable with that dog on that particular trail, I'd be finding some other spaces to go walk, so we also don't get to rehearse or practice that behavior over and over too.
It makes sense. It's not training. That's just surviving the moment.
Exactly.
That's getting through a perilous situation that could turn awful. So you just want to get through it, but nobody's learning anything from it.
It's not the best learning environment.
Yeah. I appreciate that. And Kathy, thank you for the call. Let's go to Michelle in Middleton next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. I have a 2-year-old English Setter. Very sweet dog. She knows her tricks and things to do properly as long as she's in the house or on the deck. But if you take her outside, she will not look at you.
Huh.
It's difficult to train for good, better behavior on a walk on the sidewalk or anywhere.
Yeah, that is very common. Inside the house, dog might have all the tricks, be able to do all the skills, and then you step outside and that world completely changes, whether it's the smells, the sights, all of the excitement going on. So this is a situation where creating some predictable patterns really helps. So what we would want to do is before, you know, you step out and jump into that walk. And again, this is kind of what the humans always do, like throw the shoes on and like, let's go, is recognizing that our dogs need to acclimate to that new environment that they're in. So it might be stepping out your front door and just spending some time walking up and down the driveway, sniffing the sniff, seeing who walked by, who peed on the mailbox recently, and waiting for your dog to be able to just kind of settle into the experience. And what I look for is, can my dog offer me some of these really basic tricks that they might know? It's amazing when your dog has a repertoire because you can call that into play. So can I get my dog to look at me? Can I get my dog to offer a paw shake? Can I get my dog to, I don't know, if they spin or high five or do some trick like that that they love?
I was just thinking sit.
Yeah.
Just sit.
Or sit. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You can sit.
Basic stuff.
You can do basic stuff. Sure. Yeah. Can you do that in this environment, or are you still too distracted? If the dog is too distracted, I can't ask them to be successful with more work. We can't start moving down the sidewalk. So we might just continue to do that sniffing. If you pop your dog in the car and drive to a place to go for a hike, you might do this in the parking lot until your dog sort of acclimates to what's going on before you hop on the trail, before you know you're going to have to interact with things like maybe a bike coming up on you or another person and a dog. So really breaking it down, taking it a lot slower.
And smaller.
And then every time you do this, so your dog will start to acclimate sooner and sooner, and then you can take it to new environments.
What's going through this English Terrier's mind when they go outside? That they can't be bothered with paying attention right now? Are they overwhelmed sensory-wise, or are they on full alert, or is it a combination of all these things?
It could be a combination. This is a great time to take a look at the dog in front of you, but I'm guessing if it's an English setter, we probably have some like, oh, there's birds, or there's squirrels, or there's something for me to get.
There's everything.
Yeah. Which, you know, can be over arousal, and whether it's stress, like it's a bad thing or it's a good thing for the dog, it all sort of reacts in the body the same way. And it's a dog who's really going to struggle to pay attention. So we just have to work on helping them like settle in, realize we're going for a walk. We're not going on a mad chase through the neighborhood or
down
the trail.
We're going out the front door. And once I can get you to do a sit or look at me out the front door, we're going down the driveway.
Yep.
And once we've gone down the driveway, I can get you to sit and look at me, we'll go down the street to the next driveway.
Totally.
I feel like baby steps was a sort of, it's dog steps that we're taking here.
Yeah.
And these dogs need a little bit of time and a little bit of space in order to feel comfortable going with you where they're going, which makes the big long hike seem like an arduous, like that could be a lot of work to get there.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think that's where people falter a bit, is they just have that like that big hike in mind.
Let's go. It's
let's start with the little stuff, and don't discount the little stuff. Those walks around the neighborhood can be incredibly enriching. Those walks where you explore one more new block or maybe add just another turn on the trail, and then we come back, is great too.
Michelle, thank you for calling. Let's go to Lane and Stevens Point next. Hi, Lane.
Hello. I am calling because I'm curious about a couple things, some reactivity in my dog, and then also a question about treats. My dog gets pretty reactive on the leash. She's good with other dogs. She's well socialized. She plays and spends extended periods of time with my family dogs. She goes to daycare, and I haven't gotten any negative reports about her there. But when we're on the leash, she will get really reactive to other dogs. And I would hope, you know, I would think that if she was actually able to say hi to them, it would be all tail wagging and everything. But for some reason, she just gets really barky and kind of aggressive. So I'm wondering, I do use a gentle lead with her. It helps a little bit, but if anything, it makes me more anxious, because when she's pulling and then the gentle lead is pulling her back, it kind of looks worse than it is. And that's kind of, you know, anxiety provoking. So I'm wondering if you can speak to that kind of reactivity. And then also, When I'm trying to work with her on these things, and I really like your idea of the business park, I'm definitely going to try that.
Yay.
It doesn't sometimes seem like treats are enough. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, I try pepperoni, I try hot dogs, I try all that stuff. And, you know, if there's something out there more enticing, like a squirrel or another dog, I just can't seem to hold her attention. And then it's that cycle where I lose my patience. So I'm wondering if you can kind of speak to treats. How to kind of work with those, especially when the dog's a little bit older. I mean, she's not an old dog, she's three, but she's not a puppy anymore. So it's, you know, it's a little bit harder to entice her with these things.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, kudos to you for breaking out the good treats. I love that. Sometimes it's finding the right food, but sometimes it also is just considering the dog's hierarchy in that moment. What kind of dog is it?
So she's a Woodle, half Poodle, half Wheaton Terrier.
Okay. Ooh. Okay. Excellent. Adorable, right? So I think if it's a dog who normally likes food in the house or in the backyard or when they're feeling more comfortable, but then you get into a situation where they're not taking their treats, we can assume that the environment is overwhelming them in that moment. And in that case, sometimes it truly is finding a calmer environment, finding great sniffs for them. We can use different means of reinforcement to help them get comfortable in areas. If the pup likes to play, you could bring, a tuggy toy, like we were just talking about. You could bring a ball and do some like on-leash ball play just to get them moving their body and maybe not sitting still, which can increase some of that anxiety. You could even bring like a food type of toy, like maybe a snuffle mat or a ball that they could roll around and get treats out of and see if some type of interaction would help in that moment. With the reactivity, so okay with dogs off leash and then struggling on leash is often just frustration. So the leash is a barrier, right? Yeah. Like the leash isn't going to let us get close enough. It's only going to let us get 6 feet. And then when we start to act up, super embarrassing on the human side. We probably add tension to that leash. Like sometimes we inadvertently make a rough situation a little rougher on everybody. So this is, again, another situation where I'd love to teach an alternate behavior to that dog. So when that pup sees another dog, the second, split second that dog sees the pup, that's when the treats would start coming out if she likes the food. Or I might just create more distance and happy talk. So we might see the dog. I'll invite that dog to come with me. We're going to create distance, which is the opposite of what she wants. I get that. But I'm going to tell that dog how amazing they are. You're so smart. Look at how beautiful that other dog is. More of those sweet nothings, just that happy voice. And then see if she's kind of interested in taking treats, but making it abundantly clear we are not even going to practice doing that approach because 99% of the time you're very bad at this and we're not going to practice that behavior. So once we can start to see dogs walking by at a distance, that again is when we can start to close the gap a little bit. So slowing it down just a bit, I think. And
slower and smaller seems
slower
to be the way
smaller.
To go.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. And Lane, for my sister's dog, it ended up being highly processed American cheese slices. For some reason, yep. that was the one that got the roux coming back to me. So maybe you want to give that a try. Jess, I understand I've got about a minute here, but I'm sorry we're running out of time, but you've got a book coming out that's going to address a lot of this.
Yes, I do. I don't quite have a timeline on it yet, but I'm hoping 2027. This book is going to be specifically hiking around the Madison area with your dog.
Really? Do
yes.
you have a title yet? Like just Katie Bartholomew's
no.
hiking around Madison with a dog?
Currently,
okay, that's a little
currently untitled.
That's a lot.
Little long. Yeah. But I would say if people are looking for an excellent book, my friend Danielle St. Louis wrote A Dog Lover's Guide to Hiking Wisconsin State Parks. Oh. And I helped her out with the training portion of that. So I think that would be an excellent book to check out in the meantime. And hopefully we'll have a new one for you next year.
A Dog Lover's Guide to Hiking State
Wisconsin State Parks. Yeah.
And who's the author?
Danielle St. Louis.
Danielle St. Louis. Well, that should be easy to remember. And Jess Katie Bartholomew will be looking for your book to come out at some point next year. And when you said 2027, I'm like, oh, that's a ways. No. It's it's getting closer every day. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for helping our pups today, and I look forward to having you back.
Thank you so much.
Jess Katie Bartholomew, certified dog trainer and outdoor recreation advocate based in Madison and owner of Three Black Dogs Adventure Company. Her book coming out soon, and we'll have her back when it does. I'm Lee Rayburn. Thanks to our team today, Joel Patenaude, Clara Nypert, Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau, and thank you for being a part of our puppy show today. You're listening to WPR News.